Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show. We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella and Jill DeWitt.
Hi.
Welcome to our show. In this episode, Jill and I talk about Jack's inexplicable truth. Something we call story time with Jack and Jill. Great show today, Jill.
I can't wait to tell how we got that.
Before we get into the show, let's take a question posted by one of our members on successplant.com, our free online community.
Well, this is actually really cool because this actually came from a Facebook post. So I talk about it now, and I'm telling you, when I ask questions and things on Facebook, like, hey, what do you guys want to hear? What do you want to talk about? I mean it. So this is a question this is a question that was posted on a Facebook comment when I put that out there. So John M. asks, what tasks do you outsource and which ones are in-house?
Oh, my gosh.
Great question.
You know, I'm going to answer first, and then Jill's going to fill it in because Jill's the enforcer. Jill's the decision maker. Here's my short answer. They always change. And I can give you basic ones, which we outsource. We outsource really specific. We don't have like a VA where it's the same person that we call every day. We choose to staff those types of people. We have a senior manager who just works her heart out for us. Mm-hmm. And we have a couple of other key employees that really show up and do what they're supposed to do. But when it comes to very specific stuff, let me get an example like, ASCII 2 delimited data uploads to a website that are very technical. And, we could do it. Maybe some of our staff could do it, but there might be a learning curve. We outsource that stuff. We outsource the actual printing, you know, the printing, for the mailers. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever see that. I mean, I'm not going to buy a printing press and put it in a warehouse or something and staff that. Mm-hmm. So it really comes down to economies of scale. You know, a lot of the administrative stuff and customer service, I've always believed you can't outsource customer service. There's a long-standing debate on that. Mm-hmm. A lot of companies outsource part of it. I mean, it's
even
common
answering
sense,
the phone. I mean, that's part of customer service. We keep that in-house. So I'm back on the Jill's the decision maker. What?
That wasn't phrased right.
What?
I don't mean you're the decision maker. I just mean that you're on the front line with our people and with the virtual assistants. We call them BAs, but I don't think that's really that accurate anymore. They're vendors.
Here's my only thing. I think of a virtual assistant as someone who's doing a task for us that's just not in our office. For example,
right.
Technical things, SEO things. They're not our marketing person. He's in our office sometimes, but he's often not in our office, working in his office.
Todd's technically a vendor.
So, yeah. You know. But some people call, they get, VA gets a, I mean.
When I hear VA, I think of a person sitting there somewhere.
In India.
Working for you.
That's what I think.
You know, spending 8 hours a day on your stuff. And
I know.
That was a very fleet, it was popular for like 30 seconds.
I think a VA is someone that they're on the other side of the world because they're working during the night. So when I wake up in the morning, whatever it is they're waiting for me, which is still cool. And you know what? This is good for John. I think a lot of people think there's some tasks that you can just outsource and they're going to figure it out. And that's the thing you can't do. You can't say, here's 80 pages. I just scanned and uploaded it from XYZ County. I got this data for free. You can't just scan it, email it over to a VA in another country and expect they're going to figure it out overnight. You're going to wake up and it's going to be a magical Excel spreadsheet ready for you to go. I'm not going to work. You have to understand it, first of all, to be able to explain it to them. And there's more that goes into it.
You know what? This is whole show worthy. You know, I mean, you got to ask yourself a few questions, I guess, before you make that decision. Like, are you really outsourcing it because you don't want to do it? And you don't want to learn about it?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you outsourcing it because you're afraid of it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those are not acceptable reasons.
Mm-mm.
In my opinion, the reason that you would outsource something is because you're really good at it, and you just don't want to do it. It's too time consuming, and there's a better use of your time.
Mm-hmm. That's my thing. It's not even that you don't like it. It's if there's, you may love it, but man, you need to be working on this project over here, and yeah. you shouldn't. Here's an example. I would love to sit and play in Photoshop all day. Seriously, that's what I would love to be doing, drawing pictures and having fun and making graphics, right? No, I should not be in Photoshop all day long. I should, and I'm not in Photoshop, but that's why I have other people do it, and I tell them what I want, and they go do it. I should be out here doing all the stuff like this show.
Right, like the show is a good example. Mm-hmm. You can't outsource that, obviously. Exactly. I mean, we probably could and pretty quickly find some two better people that would be better at it than us, but
yeah.
we like doing it. We like causing pain.
So there's an example, John. You should be, instead of doing your own graphics or your own website, you know, even stuff like that, yeah. your time is priced, but you should be out drumming up business and outsourcing that kind of stuff.
We have a lot of customers who outsource their deed processing. You know, they know how to do it, or maybe they don't. I'm not sure, but they just find it easier and more simple to do that. The same way a real estate agent or a homeowner would outsource a title or an escrow. So mm-hmm. there's a bunch of reasons why you would, in that case, almost always want to use title and escrow. I would say always. Mm-hmm. So it's very common sense, but I see people, I mean, data analysis, I see people trying to outsource that. And I know our direct competitors, our land competitors directly encourage that. And I'll tell you why, because they don't know how to do it. I'm telling you right
now. Yeah, I know
now.
That. I know that.
And that's not a good reason.
That's your thing.
You need to sit down and
learn it.
Close the shades and sit there, pull an all-nighter if you need to, like you did in school, and learn how to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the hard truth. I'm sorry to sound like your father, but that's it.
Mm-hmm. And that's good.
Website, not so much. You can hire that out. $300 you're going to get a good website going pretty quickly.
You can, and you can probably fairly quickly ascertain what are the big things that really need your attention and what needs your touch on it. Customers, you know, like Jack says, the properties. Doing the actual mailer? No way. Licking stamps? No way.
Yeah, don't do
doing
that.
Maybe even doing a mail merge. Maybe once you figure it out, teach somebody else. When I give you the data, you need to merge it into this file and send it to the printer. There's a good thing you could mm-hmm. outsource. So stuff like that. And when the calls come back and reviewing the deals, now it's back to you.
You know, one of the things that we really highly recommend and we talk to all of our members about all the time is once you buy a piece of property, you have to get it internet ready. We call it engineering. So you've got to collect maps, get pictures, things like that. You know, and I long stopped doing that. I used to take the pictures myself and process the whole thing. This is before the internet. Yeah, I would highly recommend outsourcing that after you've done it several times because it's really time consuming. And if you burn through it, you're not going to sell the property. You mm-hmm. need to present that well. But I think I'm going to make Jill's point totally. When you outsource any of that, you need to tell whoever you're outsourcing it to. You have to show them an example of a property that you sold in 35 minutes. Say, this is why this property sold so well. I posted it on these 25 places on the internet, and look at this picture. It's beautiful, and this is why it works. There's, you know, blue sky or water in the background or whatever, so that they can replicate it. But if you ask them to be an artist, if you ask a VA to be an artist about some of these things, you're going to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm. You have to give them A, B, C.
I'm really talking to myself
right now.
First,
do this. Find a photo that looks like this, this, and this. And then you need to copy this description, change the wording to this, this, and this. You know, you got to be real detailed.
And here's why, too, because, you know, just as sure as you had that person do that work for you on 15 deals, you're going to call them or email them one day. They're just not going to respond. They moved on to something else or whatever. You got to have a template to say, mm-hmm. well, I don't want this to affect my revenue stream. I'm going to go find another person and slap the same thing right at them and say, do it like this.
Mm-hmm. Our staff,
it's a policy procedure concept. Mm-hmm. Some of the older people my age know what that is.
Our staff has a checklist and they go down. I mean, it's maybe even the silliest little thing like posting a Facebook Live video. There's a checklist. First, save the video, then do it, upload it here, then change, you know, go in and make it public. Then, I mean, little silly little steps, but I've told them it needs to be spelled out. So A, something doesn't get missed, and B, what if something happens to you and someone else has to do it tomorrow, you know, or I have to do it tomorrow or something. You want that.
Exactly.
Thank you. Sorry, this is a good question. I'm really glad that we talked about that.
You know why it's great? Jill, because we struggle with it all the time. It's like, oh, should we have, you know, we're running our people thin in this area. Should we manage yet another, I don't want to call them VAs anymore. What could we call them? Specialists? So it's like a...
Just outsource. I say outsource.
Okay, outsource.
Yeah, I just look at it like that. I even told our senior manager just recently, because I watched her getting bogged down, and I'm like, you know what? I'm starting to notice you getting spread too thin. I dump things on you. You need to now start dumping things on somebody else. And she's like, okay. So it's awesome.
I have a flow chart. If you get the right people on staff, they can manage these VAs for you, and then you're in great shape.
Yeah.
You know, it takes years. I talked to a guy one time. I want to be very brief about this, and we'll move on to the show. And his whole business was, he was a welder. He was a welder for years and years and years, and he got a job one time as a welder on somebody's crew to put up those canopies on gas stations. You know those big things you drive under?
Mm-hmm.
It's all welded together.
Big things you drive under? Like a tunnel?
No, the canopies. You know where you put your gas in the car? So this guy... I was talking to him, and he said, you know, because he just came off the job. He's a mess. And I talked to him, and he said, I said, what the heck? He said, yeah, we just did an install. I don't usually go on the crew anymore, but I just did an install. And, man, it went really well. We did from start to finish, from the truck, when the time the truck showed up to when we were just done. I mean, we were dusting the place off. It was about 4 hours. And I said, what's a regular crew? He's like, usually it takes 2 days. I said, what? He said, after 35 years of doing this, I got the right crew.
Mm-hmm.
And we can read each other's minds. You know, like in a rock band, you just know what the guy's going to do next. I mean, like you and I, Joe, we pretty much have that going on too. So if you put the time in to get the right crew together, and they know what's happening, and most of the things that come up in front of them, they can deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're going for. You know how we say, look out into the future and see what you want?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want.
Exactly.
Hey, if you have any questions or you want to be on the show, call 800-725-8816. Today's topic is Jack's Inexplicable Truth. Story time with Jack and Jill.
Isn't there a movie, Inexplicable Me? Wasn't that a movie?
No, it's called Despicable Me. You should call it Jack's Despicable Truth.
I'm going to call it Inexplicable Me.
Jack's Despicable Truth.
Despicable.
You know what? I want a bobblehead with this.
Yeah, we're going to get you
or
a bobblehead.
Or a cartoon drawing of... cartoon.
Absolutely. You can have a bobblehead.
If you're a cartoonist, send us some stuff. Send like a cartoon of
a bobblehead.
Like a character person.
I'll tell you what I don't want with somebody who's going to sit there and tell me that it was a stripper. And they know who they are.
We did one show. Two shows talked about strippers. And it's just,
that was in our weekly, it was our weekly call. And it came back around. Someone called me and said, I don't know why I'm telling you this, Jill, but Jerry said that he's sending you a stripper. I'm like, what?
Right.
Yeah, it's good.
And then he said, well, he'll know what it means.
Yeah, so he's like, I don't know why I'm telling you this.
That's how I get in a lot of trouble for doing nothing wrong.
That'd be really funny. Silly.
Jack's Despicable Truth.
Tell us. Tell us your inexplicable.
This whole thing, my whole career in real estate was an accident. And that is the truth. And here's the outline without... the gory details. What do you say? Or do you want the gory details? You don't want the gory details.
It's story time, so I'm putting my slippers on now.
What does the host get for telling a story, like a cup full of vodka?
You get a hot chocolate. Here you go.
You know how Johnny Carson used to just drink a cup full of vodka in the morning when he's doing the show?
I did not know that.
Well, I just dated myself, Johnny Carson.
Who?
Exactly. So I went to college for a lot of things, but I ended up in accounting and was very unhappy, like so many of our members. You know, they even more technical degrees than that. And because no matter what you do for a living, you're going to have, very few exceptions, you're going to have a boss. And the boss is going to have a boss and on off of politics. Man, this show doesn't need to be about that. But the vast majority of people that seek these things out, or they're already in their real estate business for lots of years, they didn't want any part of that. They either knew it at birth. Some people knew it at birth, like Donald Trump. You know, if you read some of his stuff, and I'm not advocating Donald Trump at all. I'm really not. Politically, I truly don't care. But I do respect what the guy did with commercial real estate. And it's he knew what he wanted to do from birth. Well, I didn't have that good fortune. So I pursued a career in accounting, climbed the ladder, lots of rungs in the ladder, but ended up with an offer at KPMG as a partner, and I did not take it because I knew what the rest of my life would look like if I did that. So what did I do? Started looking for, like so many of our members, started looking for something else. And while I was there, I bought a couple of properties, one property specifically on eBay. with real trepidation, like pretty much just kissed all that money goodbye. There's no way. It was a big property. It was 80 acres in northern Arizona. And I paid, I'm not sure what I paid. I don't know the exact number. The exact numbers are what I recall. The exact numbers to be are actually in our free ebook at landacademy.com. Because I tell the story, but with a little bit more detail and a little bit more gore to it, because it was gory. Specifically, I wrote, I was like 20 pounds overweight, smoked a pack of cigarettes a day, that kind of stuff. You should get the free ebook. It's pretty yucky.
Pretty yucky?
Well, it's Despicable Me.
Oh, gosh, it's not yucky.
It's the despicable truth.
Love it.
So I bought and sold this property. I bought the property, packaged it all up in the internet with the resources that I had back then, which were very, very, very few. And, I mean, there was no PayPal, no way to pay online. It all happened with checks in the mail. And, like, mapping packages, like, scanning a map from I bought a map at a gas station, literally, and put it in a scanner, or took a picture of it. No, put it in a scanner because there was no phones with cameras or anything like that. So, and I sold it for almost double. And then I started thinking, okay, wait a minute. What did the guy that I bought it from, he was local to Arizona. So what did I do? Fly out to Arizona. And I met with the guy and I interviewed him. I said, what else do you have? I'm ready to buy it all. And he told me the whole story, where he gets it, the whole thing. So I decided to start a side business. That's the inexplicable truth. I never intended this to ever be, well, it was like a hobby. You know, the other thing too is I like land. I talked about that with somebody recently. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I like real estate. It's a pretty easy way, if you buy it inexpensively, to immediately create equity. In accounting, that's, you walk on water if you can create equity, like legally. People try to do it illegally with public companies, and you don't want any part of that. Mm-hmm. If you buy a piece of undervalued property like we do and our members do every single day, you're creating equity. Mm-hmm. If the booked equity on a house is $150,000 and for whatever reason you close the deal and control that property for $110,000, you've created $40,000 worth of equity. Not cash, equity, which I would argue for a lot of reasons is more valuable than the actual cash in hand. Jill's just opened the bottle to the nail polish. What color is it today?
It did not. I did not. I like this.
Jill is a co-host of a radio show. She has the best looking nails radio co-hosts.
Thank you for reminding me I need to do my nails.
So you create equity by buying inexpensive real estate. You don't create any equity, in my opinion, by going to a garage sale and buying a chair undervalued. You can't really, maybe you can resell a chair for $30 more, $20 more, 20 cents more. That's what antiquers do. Mm-hmm. But as sort of layman, you're not going to do that. And you're not going to do it for any real money, and you got to carry inventory and on and on and on. So anyway, I bought this property, resold it, went out and interviewed this guy, and decided to buy more property from him and sell it. And then I got this great idea to say, hey, wait a minute. Why don't I apply all the stuff that I've been doing in accounting and acquisitions for all these people and see what can really happen? You know, what if I send a fax out to every real estate agent, and this is when there were no laws about this or rules, send it out to every single real estate agent in the state of Arizona just to see what happened. And I experienced what many of our new members experience when they send a mailer out for the first time. I was picking up my jaw off the ground for a week at the responses, the signed purchase agreements that I received back, just the core interest of people basically saying, where have you been all my life? Heck yes, I would love to sell this property. It's been handed down four generations. I mean, the stories go on and on and on. If you go on successplant.com, you'll read real-time stories of new people that are sending mailers out, offers out, and they'll tell you the same thing. I can't believe that I never knew about this, that all these people are thanking me buying their property for half of what I think I can sell it. Mm-hmm. So I experienced that in a much smaller scale now than some of our newer members, and landed a great deal. I decided to move to Arizona. And I did. I moved back to Arizona. I used to live here much earlier on. But that still wasn't enough for me. I decided to get a full-time job in addition to this part-time gig that I had.
Were you like not believing? Was it kind of this can't be right. It's like,
yes.
Not feeling.
I thought it was a one-off deal.
I love it.
So, all right, so that's what I did. So I got a job in an investment bank almost immediately and I did way better financially at the investment bank than I did at KPMG financially. We, mm-hmm. it was a, there were a lot more commissions involved, and it was just a better environment for me. It was a lot, back east, it's really stuffy, and out west, it's a little bit more fun and a little less organized, but it's very more rewarding for my personality type. The more freedom I have, the better I do for some reason. Jill, you're like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you, mm-hmm. you're exact. I mean, we're exactly mm-hmm. alike.
We are.
There's more freedom, the more productivity.
We
a lot
do.
Of people just.
I work
you know,
more.
You,
if I yeah, having my being my own boss and having my own schedule, I work a whole lot more and a whole lot harder.
You know when like there's a 3-day government weekend.
Yeah.
Like what's it like President's Day or something?
4th of July.
Yeah, like 4th of July. And people go nuts.
Yeah.
And that's not me.
No.
It never has been. It's not you either.
No, because that's you on a Tuesday.
No, I mean, if I have some free time, I'm going to make some money. That's the truth of it. Not 30 seconds, but, you know. Mm-hmm. All right, so anyway. I did very well at this investment bank, and so I stayed there for quite some time. In fact, I met and worked at this investment bank with now one of our original competitors. So, in the land business anyway. I decided to then expand the acquisition piece. So I'm selling all these properties on eBay and on Craigslist and all the places on the internet. Didn't even have a website. It was incredibly unorganized. Nobody worked for me. I just closed the stuff on the weekend. That's all I did.
Mm-hmm.
Posted and closed it. Didn't outsource anything. Did it all myself. And decided to expand to stabilize the acquisition piece because I just didn't believe that, like Jill said, that this could be reoccurring.
Mm-hmm.
So I started going to tax auctions and looking into tax liens. And so the thick of it is, because we're out of time, that silly little, what I thought was kind of a hobby slash, I mean, I wanted to own a couple of pieces of property myself, free and clear, and enjoy them and watch the equity go up. And boy, it just turned into, I mean, we've probably generated, I haven't looked recently, but it's close to $24, $25 million. Hey, I never put any money back into this company, ever. I bought that property and sold it
mm-hmm.
and kept doubling my money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth. I'm not here to sell you anything. That mm-hmm. is that's the truth.
Yep.
I did put a few $1,000s into one acquisition just to get it to the top because I knew it was such a deal
right.
about 2 years after that, but that's it.
That's awesome.
So that's the despicable truth. I'll tell you, some of the people that get upset about receiving these mailers, that they would say this despicable truth.
Oh, silly.
But you know what's even better than my story, forget about me, is the story of some of our new members. Some of them are really young.
Oh, yes.
You know, there's
you know
three or four of them. I'm so proud of them.
That?
I feel like I'm proud like our kids did well.
Well, you know what's interesting is where are they getting it from? Because it's not like they've struggled at a bad job for 10, 15, 20 years and they're just sick of it. This is just obviously their thing. You know, they apparently, this sings to them right out of the gate. I mean, we have some students and members that are... They're still in college, and they're doing this on the side.
Really?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. They're not done with college. Seriously. And get to know your people. Just kidding.
No, she's talking to me.
That's what I mean, Jack. Yeah, Jack. So, no, it's funny. Is that what we do? No.
What is real estate again?
Exactly. But, no, that's what's so funny is you were looking for something on the side, and I think a lot of our people are however, we have a lot of new members that this is just, it just, for some reason, sung to them. Maybe I think they knew they wanted to be their own bosses. They love real estate, maybe a combination of the two. And
I do hear
it's interesting.
Members say that, you know, I heard your show, I looked into your stuff, and I really, that just sang to me.
Mm-hmm.
I heard, you know what?
It's true. It's like they weren't even looking for something, but they're like, wow, I could do this. Yeah.
So, and that taps into my actual technical two. You know what? I should do the technical two right now.
Okay.
This is the technical two, 2 minutes of property investment advice from our 15-year, 15,000-plus transaction experience. This is not so technical advice from me. Do what you love, and that makes sense to you. Jill's famous for saying, you know, if you are getting up in the morning and doing stuff that you don't like and it's really, really, really hard and it's difficult, not because you have to get up in the morning, but it just comes hard to you, you know, then maybe you should try to find something that comes more naturally to you.
Excuse
I'm not
me.
Saying drinking beer, you know, drinking beer comes natural to a lot of people. I'm not saying make a career out of that. Did you ever see that one Cheers with Norm Peterson? Never mind. He becomes a beer taster.
Uh-huh.
And that's his dream job. And he just finds a way to wreck it.
That's true. That is good.
But that's my point.
I love it.
I did what I followed. I didn't even know what I was doing. I still don't, sort of. And just, I loved real estate, and I, you know, do it. It made sense to me, and I love it, and loved it, and do love it still.
It's good.
Hey, if you have any questions or you want to be in the show, call 800-725-8816. By the way, before we get to Jill's inspiration, guess whose story's next on the next episode? Jill's despicable truth.
My despicable truth.
Before that, Jill, inspire us for the day.
Well, since your technical two is really an inspiration, I'll make my inspiration a technical two.
That's perfect.
It really is.
You should trade off.
I'm sitting here and I have something written down. I'm like, what the heck is he talking about? That's not technical at all.
Oh my gosh, you're
no,
right.
No, it's okay. It's do what you little... love and what makes sense. That's so inspirational. That's fine.
That's a break from the despicable movie.
I like that. So we're going to trade today, and I will do a technical two. So here's my technical two. If you want to find out if this works and it might be something for you, go get our ebook, follow the steps in it, spend very little, like a couple $100, test this, flip a property, double your money. I'm talking like spend $400 and then you'll have $800 in, you know, very quickly. Then you're going to, and see if you like it or you don't like it, and then you'll know. And that's my technical too.
And if you've already done 400 times and you're Mr. House Flipper, and you're driving a fast car, we have the same exact tools for you. It's the same program. You just send a bunch of offers out and start buying those houses cheaper so you can flip them.
Perfect.
Either way. Hey, join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how we use information. That's me.
And inspiration and sometimes technical stuff. That's me.
To get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Great show, Jill.
That was fun. That was really good.
Yeah.
We had a lot to say about that stuff.
I have such a problem talking about myself in detail like that.
You did very well.
This show was not my idea. You know whose idea it was. And our producers have ideas about stuff because they think that our producers think that we need to...
up our games.
Well, yeah, like our listeners need to get deeper inside of us and know us better. Which makes me crack up. Because I don't know why anyone would want that.
Oh, you're silly. You're despicable.
Well, that's every man's dreams, to have their woman say, despicable you. No, Jill. Well, you know what? I don't care what you think of me. I think you're wonderful. Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening.
Let's go buy some property.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.